106 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, Dr. Bill Kane. And by the way, coming up tonight, 6:30, back to the Boom Boom downtown. We'll talk a little bit more Mardi Gras here in the next half hour. Also, it looks like at 8:30, State Auditor Jim Ziegler is going to join us. We'll talk with him about this push to change the state auditor's office and how it works. We're going to get into detail on that coming up in just a little bit. Jim Ziegler will be on with us and at about 8:30, 8:35. Hey, let me tell you about the maids this week. Oh, looking forward to Wednesday. Wednesday's our day with the maids. They show up at our house and make such a difference in our life, and they'll even make a difference in the time you have to enjoy each day, each week, each year. To get a stat that it was like 2.5-3 years of your life you spend cleaning up. Think about getting that time back in your life. Give yourself the gift of clean, a great clean house with the maids. Also the gift of clean and the gift of time back in your schedule, whether it be for hobbies, family, working, whatever it is, that time you're spending each week sweeping and mopping and dusting and all that stuff. Take that off your list of things to do and get out and do something with your time. Right now, the folks at the maids want to give you a free estimate. It's just that easy. You can get an estimate. Like Dalton, you can get like a one-off, have them come for a special event. Maybe you have a big Mardi Gras party or something at the house. They'll come in and do that cleaning. Or if you want to get on a regular schedule like we do with the maids, that's, I think, the best way. But the maids are referred for a reason, and I'm referring you to them right now. And you can get a free estimate by calling 344-6626, 344-6626. That's all you got to do. They'll come to your house. They'll give you a quote. And 96% of people that use the maids would recommend them to friends and family. I'm one of those 96%. Y'all check them out, the maids for Mobile and Baldwin County. Get a free estimate. Call them 344-6626, 344-6626 for the maids. All right, the weekend was busy with the gloves coming off in the Senate Republican primary race, and it was a series of ads. One that stands out most to me that I saw over the weekend is a new ad from AL1's congressman and candidate for Senate, Bradley Byrne. And essentially, it has a, looks like it's a job interview, which I always, you know, actually, that metaphor I've used many times, because that's what I feel like it is when you go to vote, is you're hiring somebody, right? Mm-hmm. So in this ad, Bradley Byrne is one of the people interviewing for the job. Then there's a Sessions lookalike and a Tuberville lookalike that show up, and the panel there of people asking the questions decide on Byrne. It's Byrne's ad.
Right.
And he makes his case.
And Tuberville in that ad notably wearing a coaching headset.
Yes. That is visual cue.
Right.
of who you're looking at in that ad. So the ad comes out, and then that begins the gloves coming off and the bare knuckles boxing of politics. Mm-hmm. And there's been some response from the Sessions campaign, I know.
There has, and we've been waiting to see if this race would turn into some mudslinging. And it happened later rather than sooner, because now we've just got over 2 weeks to go. But Jeff Sessions answering just under 30 minutes ago on his Twitter feed, he writes, "It is unfortunate that both Tommy Tuberville and Bradley Byrne have abandoned any pretense of running a positive campaign, but it's not surprising. Both candidates are trailing in the polls, and when politicians like Tuberville and Byrne are losing, they become desperate and afraid." He continued, "They've quit on themselves and their campaigns. Neither can connect with voters on the merits of their ideas. It's sad to see them both descend to such a sleazy low point. If their baseless, desperate attacks continue, they will be forcefully answered." And he finishes, "The key issue for Alabamians is who will most effectively and forcefully fight for their conservative values and interests, ending illegal immigration, protecting our jobs from unfair foreign competition, defending religious freedom, and further advancing the strong Trump economy."
All right, so there's the take from the Sessions campaign, because he was one that didn't get the job in the ad, and the other one, Tommy Tuberville, pushing back. And there's a specific part of this that came out in that ad, is this question about Tuberville and amnesty. Okay, let me, because this is going to be discussed a lot this week, because it's out in this Bradley Byrne ad. Jeff Poore filed a story yesterday over at Yellowhammer News, says, "Tuberville denies being an amnesty advocate. He said, no pathway to citizenship if you come here illegally." Now, set this up. We'll play, here's the ad, the audio from the ad, TV ad from Bradley Byrne. Let's go ahead and roll that. Do we not have the audio? We don't have the audio. Okay, I thought we had the audio. I felt good that we had the audio. And let's try it. One more time. Here we go. The audio from the ad.
Today is the day to celebrate these great warriors. Bradley Byrne, Alabama. Thank you, Bradley.
Fighting for President Trump, a 97% pro-Trump record.
Bradley Byrne
for U.S. Senate.
I'm Bradley Byrne, and I approve this message.
Tommy Tuberville on illegal aliens.
There are people coming across the border that need jobs, and we want them to come over here. We just need to know who's here. Put the wall up. Then we let them come in and become citizens like we all became citizens.
Hey, Tommy, that's amnesty.
All right, so there's the amnesty angle. So that ad has a response from Tommy Tuberville. Jeff writes, U.S. Representative Bradley Byrne gets credit for being the first to go on the offense with two television spots. In one, two actors portray his opponents. That's what we just talked about. Former U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions and former Auburn University head coach Tommy Tuberville. However, in another, audio of Tuberville from a Shoals Republican Club meeting back in August is used to make the case that Tuberville is an advocate for amnesty for illegal immigrants. You heard the quote there. We played the audio. Then on Saturday, during a campaign stop at Bentley's at the Outhouse restaurant in downtown Hartsel. Do you know Bentley's at the Outhouse?
No, I do not.
I don't want any place with Outhouse in its name where I go eat.
I bet they have a good burger, if I had to guess.
There's probably somebody who knows about this restaurant on the text line could tell us more, but it's Bentley's at the Outhouse.
I'd have
changed something with that name. It's in Hartsel. And then so Tuberville sat down with Yellow Hammer News to clarify his position on the so-called amnesty and elaborate on his beliefs on immigration policy. He said, there is no pathway to citizenship if you come here illegally. Tuberville said when he asked his definitive position on amnesty for illegal immigrants, you have got to go back and start the right way. He was asked again. He said, none. No amnesty. Tuberville maintained the advancing of the construction of the U.S.-Mexico border wall as proposed by the Trump administration was central to his position on immigration policy. He emphasized the necessity to thwart drug trafficking. He went on to say, if we get it up, we can slow down the drug traffic. 80% of the drugs come across the border. I deal with it every day, and it's getting worse. We lose 60,000 people a year to overdoses. He went on to say, my stance from day one has been this. We don't even think about any kind of talk with anybody who is here until we get that wall built, because it doesn't make any difference because people keep coming. We'll end up having to change it for this group, change it for that group. So there are so many people who want to come here right away. There's 400,000 people in India today that speak English, are educated, and want to come to this country, but we can't let them in because we're being overrun at the border. Until we can control what's coming in, we don't need to do anything else about immigration. So there's Tuberville's angle, you know, but he is quoted. I mean, you heard the quote saying, we'll replay it. This is what people are talking about here. Once again, let's go back to this audio. This is from back in August.
Tuberville on illegal aliens.
There are people coming across the border that need jobs, and we want them to come over here. We just need to know who's here.
Okay, there's people coming across the border that need jobs. We want them over here. We just need to know who's here. So that's what he's pushing back at, that recording from back in August. Tuberville admitted there was a degree of frustration reflected during his speech earlier in the day at the Madison County Republican Men's Breakfast in nearby Huntsville. However, he said he had nothing to do with the amnesty allegations and had more to do with the culture of politics. He attributed the attacks that he supports amnesty to the swamp. So there you go.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting these last couple weeks. And we've seen a few polls come out here over the last week or so. And Alabama Daily News, they had one that we talked about at the end of last week. And to me, it looks like unless something drastic happens, we're looking at a runoff following the primary. Sessions is still holding the lead. In this poll, he's got 31% of the vote. Right behind him, Tuberville with 29% and Byrne with 17%. And so far, I think, you know, if you had to boil down each of their stances or going into this race, you've got Tuberville, who's the political outsider taking the drain the swamp route that we saw President Trump taking going into the 2016 election. Byrne, who's the only sitting congressional member who's actually been voting on things, he says he's got that 97% pro-Trump record, and he's in Washington trying to get done what the president wants done. And then, of course, Sessions, who after his stint as the attorney general, he's saying, look, what I did was a rule of law thing, but other than that, and I've been pro-Trump this whole time. So I think if you had to boil down the three stances, that's what we're looking at heading into this primary.
All right, we'll talk more about if any of this is going to sway you here in the last 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks before Super Tuesday, Election Day. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Oh, it's going to get muddy. Like a... a big mud bog rally. It's going to get muddy. For 821 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. Glad to have you along. We'll check in with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams here in just a little bit. Plus, State Auditor Jim Ziegler joins us in the second half of this hour on Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. He's been doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties for 11 years. He's got it for 1 year on us. He started 1 year before we started FM Talk 106.5. And folks in all areas from commercial side, residential side, storage unit side have been real happy with the work. We're customers as well, and it's really simple. Okay, you identify the junk you want gone. You call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or you go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com and make an appointment time. And I love this. It's an actual day and an actual time. Not kind of, we'll be there between Tuesday and Friday from 8 in the morning to 7 at night. They're going to give you a time and a date. They show up. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. So if you got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Also, a traffic update here from my wife on Twitter. Quote here, it's cute that there's a speed trap set up on McGregor between Airport and Dolphin. Literally, it's impossible. She said, literally impossible feat to speed there. But it's there as a reassurance. All right. Let's go to the phones at 343-0106. And Clifton is in Irvington. Hey, Clifton.
Hey, bud.
Hey, man. What's up?
Hey, I was listening to you earlier about the three guys going for AL1, you know, Tuberville and all them.
Yeah, Byrne, Tuberville, and Sessions. Yes.
My biggest problem with that is for the last several months, it's all been about who's going to be the better lapdog for Trump.
Yes.
What I want to know, as an Alabamian, is what are they going to do for Alabama and Alabamians?
Clifton.
Now, I know every Republican is going to help out Trump with his agenda, but who's going to help out Alabamians with our agendas?
Clifton, it's like the angels are singing when you're talking. I mean, that's what I've said since, but they don't listen to us. And, you know, it seems like the campaign managers, they realize a formula that's different. But I'm with you. I've said that to every one of them when they've been on the air with me. I say, I get it. I don't doubt that anybody, even you go down to Adair and Mooney and Ruth Page Nelson, everybody's going to stand with President Trump. I don't think there's any defection happening there. But how are you going to do it better for Alabama, Clifton? You're asking, I think, the right question.
Thank you, sir. And that's pretty much all I had. I'm just wondering what they're going to do for Alabama. Now, me personally, I'm going to go for Burns because I like him and I trust him. But I honestly have no idea what his platform for Alabama is. So that worries me.
You know what? None of them, and appreciate the call, have spent a whole bunch of time talking about what the Alabama platform is. And as I've argued over time, your senators, and I know that I'm a throwback, but your senators are like your diplomatic corps to Washington for the state. And it's one of the places for a state like Alabama, population is smaller. We're at risk right now of losing a congressional district on the House side. We need the voice in the Senate, where we're at least there we stand with equal footing to mm-hmm. other states. And that's why Senate is such a big deal. And yet what you'll do for Alabama, that's important. Or also, how will you get things done for Alabama? I think that's a fair thing to ask.
I'm interested in, you know, in campaigns, how they come up with the decision to take their ads the direction that they take them. I wonder if they did some testing going in and found that you have to absolutely show that you're pro-Trump above anything else, and that if you kind of step away from that and you talk about, you know, what Clifton just mentioned there, what am I going to do for Alabamians if that provides an opening for your opponents to say, look, not even talking about their record with Trump.
Right. If there was a, you know, you're in a general election or something, I get it. Or if we were in some state that had, we're a purple state that had Republicans that were kind of, you know, rhinos. But there's not a person that here that I think would not stand for President Trump.
Right.
Now, the argument against Jeff Sessions that has been made is, oh, well, he had a chance to do it and he didn't do before. But let me also compare and contrast the fact that William Barr, who everybody was very happy with when he stepped in, Trump supporters said, this is great, somebody who's going to stand with the president. William Barr himself is having issues with President Trump in the tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
So it is okay, at least in my mind, and you can disagree with me, but it is okay to disagree with the president. It is okay to have a, you know, if it is on a nuanced thing for Alabama. You know, it's one of the tariff things that comes up that we always talk about is, you know, what if your job is being the advocate for Alabama, what does this decision make a difference for Alabama versus the nation? These are questions we got
to
ask.
Yeah, and I'd like to see more of that here in the primary, but for sure in the actual in the race against Doug Jones,
oh,
I think
come on.
Then it'll
the
be
race
full,
against Doug Jones.
Then it'll be full on President Trump.
The primary support. Is the general.
You're right.
The
You're
primary
right.
is the general. It's unless there's something that I have not even envisioned out there. Doug Jones is, you know, everybody made a big difference, a big deal about Doug Jones voting to remove the president. If he had voted not to remove the president, he still wouldn't. Don't tell me there's a bunch of Republicans who would have lined up against Doug Jones if he would have not voted to remove the president in the impeachment proceedings. That's poppycock.
Right, but once they do get into this general election, I think the pro-Trump ads will be turned up to 11. Because you, in that case, you do have an opponent who hasn't sided with the president 100% of the time, or 97% of the time.
Let's go back to the phones, and David's in Mobile. David.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Dalton. The every competitive race Bradley Byrne has ever been in, from state senate all the way till now, he's gone negative. Now, he's going to tell you it's because his opponents went negative first, and there is some truth to that. But at the state senate level against Chip Brown, and the governor's race against Tim James, and the House races against Dean Young, and now there's one commonality, and that's Bradley Byrne.
Well, I have no doubt that, I mean, way back I said this would go, I mean, as it gets tight, of course it's going to go negative. Of course
exactly.
it's going to go negative. And, you know, just because, okay, let me flip things around. The negativity came out in an ad from Bradley Byrne, but the words have been being said. Tommy Tuberville's had these same things to say on the campaign trail, whether they were in the form of an ad or not, but he's saying the same things against Byrne and Sessions.
And I actually sat down with Tommy Tuberville in the time frame he was making those same comments, and he made this very much similar comments to me during that interview at the lobby of the Battle House Hotel. And I went back and listened to that audio last night when I worked for Bama Politics, because I took away something different than what everybody else was taking away from it. And he has a much more detailed explanation that he and even in that ad, you can see he says first build the wall, then let them in, and then let them apply for citizenship, in that order. And if you take that order, that is Donald Trump's immigration policy to the letter. Build the wall first, get a handle on who's here and figure out who's here, then we can talk about citizenship.
Who crafted the immigration policy that then-candidate, now President Trump, took to the win?
Stephen Miller, who used to work for Jeff Sessions.
So in other words, yes, Jeff Sessions. For 8 years of Barack Obama, Jeff Sessions was in the rotunda about three nights a week. You go check in with cable news, and there stood Jeff Sessions laying out the planks of the platform that became the platform of President Trump. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong.
Thank you.
That's the thing that gets
Appreciate
me, though. You know, there's no room for nuance when you're out on the campaign
trail. We're in a binary world. That's why that AL.com story is out there, who would literally take the bullet for President Trump.
Right.
You know, it's for the way AL.com's gone lately, it's fair of a story as they put
well,
out.
But we're here complaining why we don't hear any detail from these candidates of what they would do if they were to win the Senate seat. And it's because if they do go into detail, then they leave themselves open to attacks like this if they start, you know, being more nuanced in their takes and what specifically goes into immigration policy or what have you. And then you leave that little bit of audio out there, and it's going to come back at you.
All right. Hence we have stories like
who would take a bullet
a literal bullet, and we have at least one person running for the Senate that said they would literally take a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ridiculous place in our conversation, I think, but maybe y'all love it, so we'll talk about that more. Also coming up, something we've mentioned last week, and we're talking about this SB 83, this bill that would change the State Auditor's Office, and this is something that is we're going to be looking at. There's a push right now, and a committee meeting coming up this week about it, that would change what the State Auditor, who they report to, who decides State Auditor, and the current State Auditor. Jim Ziegler joins us in studio to talk about that coming up next, right here on Mobile Mornings. Y'all stay close. Phone number, text line, 343-0106.
AM 836 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and check in with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning.
So
happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras, and that's what I was about to get into. We've seen some great floats already this Mardi Gras season, and if you saw a nice truck towing one of those floats, well, it's your chance to pick one up at McConnell Automotive. Tell us all about the Mardi Gras trucks.
That's right. I'm pulling in right now, and we're going to get them all cleaned up this week. Don't have to pull another parade till Friday night through Columbus. We're going to be pulling them, the MOTs, the IMs, the KOR, the 00Ms. We're going to be all out there this weekend for a good Mardi Gras, and we're going to have some great deals on those trucks, and they do look great. Also, don't forget about our used cars. We got some great certified there. Got some diesels in. We're trading in on that new body style, which that new body style is number one on each parade. We try to get that right up front because it is just absolutely gorgeous. Come see us at McConnell Automotive, or check it out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 8:37 right here on Mobile Mornings. And as we mentioned earlier, in studio guest, State Auditor Jim Ziegler, thanks for coming in.
Well, glad to. It's good to be out of Montgomery and home.
That's right, but there's so much, of course, going on with session in Montgomery, and this is something we had talked about on this show last week, and now it's coming up this week. Senate Bill 83, sponsored by Senator Andrew Jones out of Center, Alabama. Explain it, because I saw it's going to be a CA. It's proposed to be a CA to change really eliminate the state auditor's office.
That's correct. It eliminates the elected state auditor, and that has the effect of moving the audits that I do, which are the property inventories of the 176 state agencies, to the examiners of public accounts, who are under the control of the legislature. And there are people that think that would be the fox guarding the hen house.
Okay, so that would be, for people to understand, the big change right now, state auditor's office, elected position, you're elected to state auditor, you answer to the people. If it makes this move, then that office, what is it called? You mentioned the office that it would transfer to?
Examiners of public accounts.
Examiners of public accounts that work at the pleasure of the legislature.
That's correct. They're what would be classified as a bureaucracy. They're not subject to the voters at all.
All right. So this is, because I want to talk a bit about Amendment 1, too. I mean, these are significant changes to the way people get a voice in state government.
They are, and SB 83 is coming up tomorrow afternoon, Tuesday at 1:00, before the State Senate Governmental Affairs Committee. Okay. Now, this is going to shock you, but the bill managed to get referred to a committee which has no members from Mobile County.
Well, there's
none. There's not one.
Well, there's probably quite a few of those committees in Montgomery, the way we get treated up there. So the closest person on the committee to down here is where? Nowhere closer?
Baldwin County. Both of the state senators are on this committee. That's Chris Elliott and Greg Albritton.
Okay.
And so they will be called upon to vote tomorrow afternoon on SB 83, and we are, of course, opposing it. Last week it came up for the first time. It's on a quick track, a fast track.
Okay.
It was introduced on the first day of the session, and 1 week later it came up, and Senator Jones gave his presentation. He basically said that this is designed to save money, to eliminate duplication.
Okay.
There's a problem with that. The audits that I do are totally different from the audits that the examiners of public accounts do. I audit the over $1 billion worth of state-owned property items that the 176 state agencies have, and that's important. And the examiners examine the funds. So this would simply change the cost of those audits from one agency to another, but it's still there.
Okay, so that's, I want to take the politics out and just look at the money part of it. So if the it shifts, they would have to hire new people. They would have to increase the size of their staff.
Absolutely. They'd either have to bring my staff completely over to their agency or hire entire new people. And I contend that this bill, if passed and then ratified by the voters in November, would cost many tens of thousands of dollars. So my staff has had to do the property inventories at a bargain basement cost. Our budget got cut 28.5% by the Bentley administration, and my staff got halved from 11, which was lean to begin with, to 5.5. And we are current on the audits, but just by the skin of our teeth.
Yeah, give us an idea, as state auditor, just a snapshot of a day in the life at the state auditor's office. You talk about those 176 agencies. Like, walk us through picturing what y'all do, like, language I can understand.
Okay, after we got whacked so badly with our budget and our staff, I decided I would get trained and become a field auditor. This is unprecedented. Myself, and I could go conduct an
physically
audit.
Physically go out to places and
yes.
Say, there's a this, there's a that. There's
yes, and so I did. And so I asked the staff, I was meeting with them, what is the next agency that's coming up? And they said, well, now we think you need to go to a small agency nobody's ever heard of to begin with, the first two or three, and just kind of get your feet on solid ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what's coming up next? And they looked at it and said, Speaker of the House. And so I said, I'm going. And I went. And that first time, I did take one of the staff members with me. And we finished the audit. Speaker happened to be, we told him I was coming, and he happened to be there. We got through, and there was a major missing item. And it was a printer. And we instructed our staff and the speaker staff to do everything possible to find that.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept looking and looking, and by the grace of God, we found it. Otherwise, I would have been called on to report that to the Attorney General.
Okay.
Can you imagine my very first audit that I'm reporting the Speaker of the House, the Attorney General? Now, understand, this was a carryover from the previous Speaker of the House.
It had not been audited.
We found it.
Okay. So that's a day in the life. You're out there physically looking at, here's my checklist, here's what's supposed to be here. Let's
exactly.
Compare it against that. All right. And then you said this staff was lean before, but now cut to how many?
5.5. And that sounds funny. But the half is, of course, a part-timer.
Okay. I was trying to say how you got a half person working.
And just recently, we've gone up a little bit. We've got 5.75. We got 3 part-timers. We have made good use of interns, students, retirees, part-timers, volunteers, trying to keep up, and we have kept up, even though the budget has been very difficult for us, and it was already a lean budget when I took office 5 years ago.
Let's talk to me about the motivations for this. You said it's going to be couched as a money-saving effort, but what do you believe the motivations for this move are?
I don't know. Senator Andrew Jones, who has Cherokee and Etowah counties from Center Alabama, also represents Gadsden.
Mm-hmm.
He's new. He's a freshman. And he said it was designed to save money.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, then let you respond to this. Does this come from the executive branch to a new kid on the block in the legislative branch for something to be done?
I wondered the same thing myself. And I don't know. How do you judge somebody's motive? And usually you don't. You have to judge what they do,
mm-hmm.
and what they say, and their internal motive. I just don't know. I will say this. I've had a hard time the whole 5 years I've been the state auditor in terms of the support for the office. And somehow or another, Montgomery insiders have thought that if they could cut my budget and cut my staff and take away our office space and take away our parking spaces, they did all those things.
Really?
Yes. That would shut me up. Well, guess what? It's had the opposite effect.
That hadn't worked. We're sitting here in Southwest Alabama and wondering, is it a direct corollary between your fight against the bridge tolling and this move? I mean, I'm asking what regular people hear this are asking.
It may have. It started well before that.
Okay.
The cutting of my staff's office space was before that. The cutting of their parking spaces was about the same time. The cutting of my budget was well before that. The cutting of the staff was before that. So I had already gotten on the wrong side of the Montgomery insiders before I and 54,000 others blocked the toll bridge.
How'd you get on their bad side? Doing an audit shouldn't be anything that's partisan unless there's some malfeasance going on, you know? I mean, it should be just plain either the printer's there or the printer's not there.
Well, let's see. I filed the initial ethics complaint against Governor Bentley, and after a year of investigation, the Ethics Commission found against him, and 5 days later he resigned. That was one way, and I filed suit against a $47 million no-bid contract for the STARS software for the state, and won a partial victory on that despite an adverse ruling from the Supreme Court.
Things outside of your state auditor's job that seem to have rubbed those in Montgomery the wrong way.
I'm sure it is. I ran both in 14 and for re-election 18 on the platform that I have a plan to make that office a monitor of waste, mismanagement, and corruption beyond the property audits. And I had said, they wanted it. Did I really have a plan to do it? Well, I did. And we have somewhat executed it.
All right, can you hang on for a second? We'll run the news break and come back. More State Auditor Jim Ziegler when we return right here on Mobile Mornings. This is a bill coming up this week. We'll also talk about Amendment 1, something that's gotten a lot of discussion on the show when we return right here on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5 and our continued conversation with State Auditor Jim Ziegler. We're talking about a couple things. Number one, a Senate bill coming up this week that would change the state, essentially eliminate the State Auditor's office.
Correct.
Okay. The other item that we've talked about that must be busy in the Ziegler House affects you, but affects specifically your spouse. This is Amendment 1. Now, what is Amendment 1?
Amendment 1 would take away your right to vote for or against State Board of Education members and make them all appointed by Governor Ivey.
Okay, so this is another place where, like you said, for the State Auditor's Office, you would eliminate a voted-for position. I've talked about this, and I two things. I see what is being asked here of voters to come out and make sure they keep a right to vote. At the same time, I want to encourage people to take some control, some interest in that vote, right? I mean, that's one of the things that is we get in these discussions of you know, state school board, and I don't think people do their research well enough before they, and some do, the educated voters, but there's a lot of people who show up, don't you agree, that don't do their due diligence beforehand?
Well, that's correct. Of course, that's true in all offices.
Unfortunately.
Name recognition has a lot to do with it, and who has the prettiest TV and nicest sounding radio spots.
Right.
But that's true. The idea that we have real problems in our school system, that is correct.
Yes.
But the idea that the solution will be to abolish the elected school board and start having the governor appoint all of them, that is a ridiculous idea. How's that going to help? I, for one, believe it would hurt. And I have a good example. About 5 years ago, our school board member took another job in this area, these seven counties of basically your listening area. And the Governor Bentley appointed one. And fine young man from Baldwin County, Matthew Brown. But he had no experience in education. He didn't go to public schools, as children were planning on not going, and just no knowledge of the education system at all. And he ran for re-election in 16, or for election in 16, and my wife, Jackie Ziegler, with 37 years of experience in the Mobile school system, ran against him. And the Montgomery Insiders raised $220,000 against Jackie Ziegler, the most that's ever been spent in a State Board of Education race. And she beat him 62-38 after he spent $220,000 of special interest money. Jackie raised $20,000 of local money. And Jackie Ziegler would never have been appointed by a governor. Never, ever. So we need an elected school board, not one all appointed by the governor. What are they thinking?
Yeah, it is a place where they sell it as being a streamlined way to do it, right? The governor would appoint people. The governor would vet these people out and put them in these positions at the state school board.
Yeah, she'd vet them like she did a month ago when she appointed a Montgomery retired lawyer to the probate judgeship that was vacant. And within a day, he was having to inform her that he was not constitutionally eligible. He doesn't meet the constitutional requirements. He was over 70 years old, and it says her staff are the most incompetent people. They think they're smarter than you and me, and they're not. It's just the opposite. That is several things that they have done where they have not done a good service to the governor or to the people of Alabama. And that's the kind of vetting that a governor would do. She would appoint the cronies in Montgomery. That's who would be appointed.
All right, so there you go. There's Amendment 1, and then to watch, it's in committee this week, but this SB, I've lost the number.
83
that would eliminate the state auditor's office. All right, so people are aware of it. We'll, of course, talk about it as we get closer to time to vote on those statewide things. SB 83 may not even be there.
It may not. 2 weeks from tomorrow is the March 3rd primary.
So I've heard.
Yes, and in addition to Amendment 1, there'll be a U.S. Senate, the congressional candidates, some local candidates, a president of the Public Service Commission, and it's an important, and presidential delegates.
Yes, yes, yes. And I don't want to hear from the presidential delegates who would vote for President Trump. We're sure that they don't.
All of the ones running in the Republican.
Right. I can't wait to hear. They wouldn't. Yeah, they're all going to vote. Jim Ziegler, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right. On the way. Check in with Mike Gallagher. I'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Check us out online, FMTalk1065.com.